Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we are on the chapter 5. And then we were doing the summary of Sri Rupa Goswami's instructions.
So, is there anything to the previous or whatever we discussed.
Did we finish? Yeah.
We didn't finish the first
time. Okay. Okay.
My question is, devotional service is not limited to any particular circumstance. Can you please explain that?
Okay. Okay, so then the whole thing is that next Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations and that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society or circumstance.
So, the devotional service is, it's not limited to anything. We already discussed the point before. Is that the devotional service, it's possible to be taken by anybody, disregarding any circumstances, any considerations. And it's not actually even limited just to humans. It was a very nice story, actually, what happened in Ramanujacharya, when he was eating some prasad on bank of a river, and something, some crumbles fall into the water, and then it was a fish, just came, took some of these crumbles, and suddenly changed into a foreign form and went to Vaikuntha. The disciples were all astonished. Now, how is that we are taking your Maha for so many years and so many times we did, and we are here. But the fish just once took some crumbles which fall into the water, and then the fish is liberated. So then he actually explained that the fish just follow the instinct, just a neutral way of, wasn't attached to any material circumstances. So then the Mahaprasad, the potency of the Mahaprasad could fully manifest, and then the fish got liberated. Now we, because of our free will, so then we deliberately get attached to certain things. So even though the chanting of the holy name, then eating prasad, they all have the potency to immediately liberate us within a moment. But then because we have so many considerations, what we want to do, and we are attached to the family or, you know, to the bank account or to this, to that country. So because of that, then we cannot actually fully, you know, achieve the result of the devotional service. So as such, devotional service is not limited, and anybody can practice it. But devotional service means internal. That's the meaning of that. What we actually, you know, perform, how we perform the devotional service. Now over here, you see, you know, in Mayapur there are many Muslims, and out of them, then many are engaged in devotional service. They do service for the temple, they do service for the deities, and they are actually, you know, devoted, you know, quite, you know, a lot to Lord Chaitanya. So that somebody gets born, you know, not as Vaishnava, not as, you know, with the propensity that he can without difficulties perform devotional service, does not mean that he will not be able to take up one. So that means there is no limitation for the devotional service to be able to successfully deliver that conditioned living being to the spiritual world. So in circumstance, there is nothing, there is no circumstance in which we cannot take up devotional service. So we may think, well, okay, now I feel now very comfortable, I have enough money, I'm not satisfied, so why should I take devotional service, right? Because later when I become old and then just about to die, then this is the time to take devotional service. No. There is actually no circumstance when we cannot perform devotional service. So even when we are successful and everything is seemingly so great with us, then we can take up devotional service and actually understand that it's not us. We are not the doer of these activities. It's not because of us that we are successful. It is Krishna's arrangement. So then we can be grateful for that. That will take us closer to him. So no circumstance, there is no circumstance in which we cannot perform devotional service.
Okay, then, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. So then, and that's it's very much connected to the previous. So then, devotional service is a process by which the conditioned living being can transcend this material world, can get detached from this material world, and can get attached to Krishna in spiritual world. And it is causeless, because we cannot actually demand that if we perform some service, we cannot demand that because of that now I have to get some results. So that we are able to transcend this material world, it's by the causeless mercy of Krishna and of the Lord. Of Guru. So then we should not think that it's by our own endeavor, by our own means that we can leave this material world. It's by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And then that devotional service is executed without any hope for gain, and it cannot be checked by any material circumstances. So then this is
that actually shows this is the pure relationship. See, we have to understand that the relationship, our relationship with Krishna, it's based on the pure relationship. That means that we, as the servants of the Lord, then we have full affection for Him. In whatever rasa we may choose, but it's a pure affection. We want to serve the Lord according to our capacity. And there is, with that affection which we have for the Lord, there is also some certain attachment that we want to do it, but the attachment is not material. The attachment is just we want to please the Lord. In relationships, as we may know, then there is always the element of affection and attachment. The affection is the part of the relationship which we want to do what is the best for the other person. So then out of affection, we sacrifice ourselves. We let the person do what he wants if it pleases him. The gopis, they let Krishna do what he wants. They are fully surrendered. If Krishna wants to be with them and that makes him happy, they will do that. If he wants to leave them and be happy, they will be happy with that. So that's pure affection. They are just, Krishna is the only object who receives their love. There is nobody else who is sharing that. Now, then, in relationship, as we know, then there is also attachment, which naturally comes. But the attachment is the part which we actually start, we think about ourselves. Like a mother, right? So then mother is bringing up a child. Now the child, when he grows up, then he wants something. Now if it means that maybe he has to leave his mother for some time and that he really wants to do it, then the mother, then if the attachment is very great, she may understand it's good for him if he goes and practices something somewhere, but the mother cannot let go because she's so attached. So out of affection, she would be able, yes, I understand, it's good for you, therefore you go, you practice, then you come back. But the attachment, if it's too great, she will not be able to let go. But that will not have good results. That will show sometimes somewhere. So therefore the attachment and affection must always be in balance. For example, now, grandparents dealing with the child, then there is very much affection. But the attachment is less. So they know what needs to be done, how the child must be brought up. And then if he does something wrong, then say the mother may not be able to punish the child because, it happened, so she will justify to not to punish the boy, for example. But the grandparents should not have such a difficulty. They will immediately see, well, in his punishment, he will get punished. And it's not that they have no affection. They have great affection for the child. But they can do that because the attachment is much less. So the attachment and the affection must be in balance. Then we can experience the depth of the relationship. So when we are dealing with Krishna, so then there it's pure. There is no attachment to gain something from the relationship. Nothing for us. The gain for us is Krishna is pleased. So that way, then we are happy. That's our happiness. That's the goal. But nothing else. There is no other agenda which we have in that relationship. Yes. If Krishna is, we see that Krishna is pleased by other. Of course, but then we don't have the desire. We don't have we don't expect that Krishna will reciprocate this way. Krishna, I did this for you, and you must reciprocate this way. So that's not pure. I do this, and if Krishna notices and he reciprocates, I will be very happy. But if he doesn't, I'll still continue doing it. Because I know it makes, for example, makes the other devotee, makes his service easier, and he is able to please Krishna. So we'll keep helping this devotee. And if Krishna notices me once, I will be extremely happy. But if he doesn't, I still will be happy because I know it pleases Krishna. So I don't have any expectations back. But if something comes, I will be happy. But when I see the other devotee is happy, then I know Krishna is happy. That automatically makes me happy. Should. That's the reciprocation. If you actually appreciate somebody's service, then it's very natural to come, I really appreciate your service. Because that's a great inspiration. But if somebody just does something like a standard, normal, then may not come any appreciation. That's just normal. But if something is above normal, something extraordinary, then naturally it should be appreciated. And if something is below standard, then that should be also pointed out. But we should not expect that we do our minimum, now whatever it takes, just to get by, and then thinking that we should get all the praise and all the appreciations. Otherwise, no, why am I doing this? That won't be really possible. Yeah? Yes?
So, about this attachment, you say it has to be balanced. We see in the gopis, they have a lot of attachment
for
Krishna. So is that only in a material sense that is a bad thing, and that is actually what separates the gopis from the rest of the devotees? Because they have this identity that Krishna is ours, not I'm Krishna.
Yeah, you see the attachment, not what the gopis have for Krishna, this is actually the pure affection. Because they do anything for him. They don't have any objections. Like we mentioned that Krishna had headache and he asked the gopis to put their feet on. Then anybody else, the great sages were thinking, this is not possible. Then if I put my feet on Krishna's head, I will go to hell. So I don't want to go to hell. No, so then therefore I will not do it. But the gopis, they didn't think like that. They immediately just, that pleases Krishna, immediately just, without thinking. So, and they cannot be without Krishna. So they are so attached that they are afraid that they lose Krishna. So then the attachment is so great that they want to be always with him. But if they see that Krishna doesn't want to be with them and he leaves, still they are satisfied because they know, okay, that's what Krishna wanted. And they will think, how can I please Krishna more? How can I do, is this pleasing Krishna? So then they will be in that state. But at the same time, they will be trying to get the emotions even deeper. So then it's in separation. So they will very deeply think about Krishna, seeing Krishna everywhere, and because of their deep emotions, Krishna manifests. He is there. So that's how their attachment manifests. So it's actually pure affection. But over here, when we say attachment, that means that what can I get from the relationship? Not what I can give. And that what can I get that prevents us actually from experiencing the depth of the relationship. And without the material attachment, it's only possible to have relationship with the Lord. Now, in the conditioned state, we will not be able to completely eliminate the element of the what is there for me. But to enter the spiritual world, then we will have to completely eliminate that material attachments and the wants of what is there for me. Yes?
So here there will be a difference between wanting gain from the world and spiritually situated, having a goal to have a result. For example, I'm serving Krishna because I want him to be protected.
Yeah?
Yes, initial kind
of okay.
His protection is worship. Or another devotee like Rupa Goswami is worshipping Krishna to establish what Chaitanya wanted to do. He still has a goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
To write all the books, to build
yes.
But he has no necessity to gain anything himself. That's
the difference. You see, Srila Prabhupada, he comes to this material world to deliver the devotees. He didn't have to do it. But out of affection for the conditioned jivas. Okay, so he comes and he helps us to also go back to Godhead. So there is the liberated souls. They do activities which they don't have to do it. But out of the compassion, seeing actually that we are suffering here. And they can do it. They can just help us to find our identity. So they can help us to experience the ananda, which the soul, this is the soul's nature. So then they do help. But they cannot help to those who don't want to be helped. So, again, if we are understanding this point, then we will develop the affection, for the Lord. We will develop the affection just so then we can experience the depth. But as long as we have the attachment, but what will I gain? What will I have from that? That will prevent us from getting the ultimate result. So, you see, in the material world, the relationships are always more or less result oriented. There is always something which the other person wants from the other. Now, more I can sacrifice for you, then more depth I will experience. But if I want more from the relationship than I'm able to sacrifice, then it's going to be just very shallow, you know, relationship which will have no really great significance. The mother, she has a great affection for the child. She wants the best for the child. But because she's so attached, sometimes she doesn't see, she don't see like what is the best for the child to do. So then, husband is there, and the husband, he may decide. He may say, well, no, this is the best for the child, so then we will do it this way. Now, she may have very great feelings that she may not be able to do it. But, okay, it's decided, it's done. She understands it's the best. But sometimes it's difficult due to the attachment to actually let go. But then what she experiences afterwards, that when child comes back, then very much joy. Then she understands, she sees the result of, and the relationship is much deeper. If we don't let go, sometimes we have a friendship. Now the friend, he wants to be together with some other friend. Now we are attached. We say, no, you have to be with me. You are only my friend. Nobody else is your friend. So more we hold, then more repulsive it will be. So the result of the attachment will be that we lose the friend. He doesn't want to be bound that way. So we will lose him. But if we give the freedom, okay, no problem. You go and be with the other friend. And when you want, come back to me. So that freedom actually deepens the relationship. So we are not possessive. We are not expecting, you are mine. So it's not on the bodily platform that you have to be next to me, otherwise you are not my friend. We are looking for the qualities. So then he wants to experience friendship with somebody. Oh, no problem. But when you again want, then please come, and then we will have great time together. So let go at the right time, the right place, the right way, then actually means that you develop stronger relationships. But that's possible only when the attachment is under control. If there is a great attachment, we are unable to understand what is right to do. So that's the difficulty. Because the attachment actually is ruled by the mind. It's the senses. But the affection, it's the intelligence, the values, knowing what is right to do. Yeah?
Okay, and then the devotional service is open for all, without any distinction, and it is the constitutional occupation of the living entities. All right. Now, is there any limitation who can become a Vaishnava? On the basis of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada's position that anyone can now become a Gaudiya Vaishnava from any part of the world or any part of the universe, anyone who is a pure Vaishnava is situated transcendentally and therefore the highest qualification in the material world, namely to be in the mood of goodness, has already been achieved by such a person. So,
that we have to understand the position of a Vaishnava. Position of a Vaishnava is transcendental. That means beyond this material world. So, as such, it's to be understood that even the mode of goodness, which is considered the highest in this material world, is already transcend. That means, now, that the mode of goodness is represented by the brahmanas. So then the brahmanical qualities, now practiced, now here in the mode of goodness, is already transcend by Vaishnava, who are above the brahmanas, then who are situated in the mode of goodness. But for the Vaishnavas, now the mode of goodness is the best position to practice their devotional service. So therefore, as a Vaishnavas, we take up the culture and the qualities of the brahmanas. Because that's the easiest and that's the best way how we can reciprocate with the Lord. But it is understood that we are not performing that to remain in the mode of goodness. It's just the media how we can reciprocate with the Lord. So that way, Vaishnavas are above brahmanas. And therefore, as such, then Vaishnavas should be respected. Because they already transcend that, they are transcendental to the any modes, the three modes of material nature.
Our Krishna consciousness movement in the Western world is based on the above mentioned proposition of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, our spiritual master. On his authority, we are claiming members from all sections of the Western countries. The so-called Brahmanas claim that one who is not born into a Brahmana family cannot receive the sacred thread and cannot become a high-grade Vaishnava. But we do not accept such a theory because it is not supported by Rupa Goswami nor by the strength of the various scriptures.
So, in other words, some claim that only a person born in family of a brahmanas can become a brahmana. So, basically, it's a caste. So, then by the caste, then you can now become brahmana. But we see many examples that nowadays there are no pure castes. The brahmanas, they are not pure. They don't follow their own duties. They follow some other duties. So their qualities are diminishing. So and still they claim to be brahmanas, even though by the qualities they are not showing that. So it is against the logic to consider these as brahmanas, as to oppose somebody who may not be born in the family of a brahmana, but he shows the qualities of a brahmana. Like we were mentioning that Gautama Rishi accepted Satyakama Jabala. He was born of prostitute and he didn't know who his father was. But by the qualities how he dealt with his guru, then he showed that he has brahmanical qualities. So therefore he was accepted as a brahmana. So that's the right understanding of the scriptures. So that way, the standards of the Brahmans can be maintained because the qualities are maintained. If we just simply look into the caste system, then that will not be possible to really consider. So we have to always look into the qualities of a person to consider what the person is like, not what he comes from. What he comes from, it's an indication we may expect. But what he actually is, that shows only his qualities. Like a king, he may have many sons, but maybe only one or two will be proper kshatriyas. They will be able to give shelter to his citizens. The others will be very selfish, or they will be very into sense gratification, or some other qualities which will disqualify them from becoming a future king. So the qualities are the most important which we see on a person. And as Rupa Goswami, he defines a highly learned person is a person who has great character and great knowledge. So character is based on one's qualities. What are the qualities of the person? So according to these qualities, when we may judge and we may see who the person is and deal with the person appropriately. So therefore, it's so important. Yes?
Sure. What's the position of a Vaishnava who doesn't have good values in the monastery?
Well, Vaishnava who doesn't have values for cleanliness, now, if he is fully surrendered to the Lord, it doesn't really matter. That means that he just doesn't care for anything or anybody. He just fully, thinks only about the Lord. He doesn't care about himself, what he does, what he should do. So he becomes like basically like an avarut. So we may see him unclean. We may see him various ways. Like Shukadeva Goswami, the small little children were laughing at him that he's walking naked. He was completely transcendental, that he didn't bother at all with any comments like that, because he was always absorbed on the Lord. So if the person is such that he is fully surrendered, then he is Uttamadhikari, and he is on that platform, so it does not really matter. But person who is not, then how is he going to get to the platform? How is he going to elevate himself? Through what? Through being dirty? Krishna, he gives the process of Pancharatra. So in Pancharatra, there is exactly described, how do we follow the process of cleanliness? Srila Prabhupada is our Acharya. He simplifies and he just takes only the essence of the essence. And he tells us, just do these minimum things. These minimum things are based on what Krishna wants, what Krishna does. So they become the media for how we can find the reciprocation with the Lord. So why should we not want to be clean? Why should we want to do it different way? Based on what? If we find some other reasons like, I don't have to get up in the morning, I can just get up at noontime and chant afterwards. No, Krishna gets up at Brahma Muhurta. We get up because our Acharya tells us we should get up at Brahma Muhurta. We should chant in the morning because that's what everything happens. That's the most auspicious time and then we can fully concentrate. No, but I'm different. No, I can do it different way, and then I can get anything I want. That's not true. Where does it come from? It's a speculation. It comes from the mind. It's not supported by the Guru Sadhu Shastra. So unless we are so absorbed in the Lord that even when we sleep or we don't, we always constantly think of Krishna, then for us sleeping means ignorance. So therefore we have to follow the rules. Get up in the morning. Then take bath. Then, okay, I'm transcendental to this. I don't have to take bath. Then, okay, if you are so transcendental, then, okay, don't take bath, but don't eat. Just chant. Do only that. No, but I have to eat. Well, then you should brush your teeth, because that's what Krishna does. So Krishna doesn't have to do all these things. But he does, because that's the way how he actually can relate to everybody, and everybody can relate to him. Because if he brushes his teeth, somebody has to cut the twigs and get it for Krishna. If he is going to bait, so somebody is going to be baiting him, right? So the gopis, right? So now that way, then that's the way how we can reciprocate with the Lord. But to know how to reciprocate, then we should also understand how Krishna does it and why, what actually it is. So, unless we are on the level that we can say that we are already experiencing it in different body, in the Siddha Svarup, and therefore we don't have to follow the rules over here, then it can be considered. But if not, then how do we actually find, how do we reciprocate with the Lord? How do we find the way? Which media? What do we use? Ignorance? So more dirty we become, then actually it will be better for us than we find Krishna in the dirtiness. It's also element of the Lord. But it's very difficult to distinguish that. Very difficult to find Krishna in that element. So that's why Srila Prabhupada gave us these simple rules to follow. And then just following the simple rules, then it makes it very easy for us, so then we can go back to Godhead. So why is there need to speculate about what actually should be done and how? There is no need. The need only comes from our conditioned nature, that we want to be something different, or we want to do something else, or if everybody does this, I want to do something different. If everybody is clean, then I'll be dirty, just so then I distinguish myself from others. It's a false ego. And this mentality then keeps us in the material world. It doesn't elevate us to the spiritual world. So before we decide to do something else than what we are supposed to do, then we should very clearly think of how is it supported by Guru Sadhu Shastra. If we don't find support for that, then we should really seriously consider it not doing it. And no matter what anybody says, thousands of devotees can tell you, you are great, but you know that there are anarthas which needs to be removed. So as soon as one falls for, yes, I am great, that means I don't have to do anything more, that's the beginning of the fall down. We should know ourselves what is there that we need to work on? And if we get lured by the talks that, oh yeah, you are pure devotee, no, so then at that moment when we start thinking, yes, actually I am. So that's the beginning of the fall. But if we understand, well, maybe I may not develop some quality by the association of devotees, some good qualities, but it's no way near to anything which I can please Krishna by. So I will seek more and more association of pure devotees. I will seek how I can perform my devotional service, so then it pleases more, the Lord pleases more the Vaishnavas. And then be never satisfied with, now this is enough. Because as soon as I think that this is enough, then that's the end. And from there, it's the way only down. There is no end to devotional service. There is no end to how we can perform devotional service. We may think, okay, so now we pluck the flowers for the Lord. That's our service. So then we pluck the flowers and give it just like that. Okay, it's a service. But then you may think, what can I do? Well, maybe plucking the flowers is not just enough. Maybe what if we pluck the flowers and make into garlands and offer the garlands? Okay, so then you pluck the flowers and put it somehow on the garland and then offer it. Now, then you may differentiate. Well, some flowers are red color, some are white color. Maybe we can make some designs. So make the flowers with nice designs, offer those. Now, some flowers are scented, some are not. Maybe I should use just the scented ones and make a special garland with designs and scented. Offer that to the Lord. And then you can increase. You can, the details in the devotional service, you can always increase. So then the depth will be more there. Externally, it may look like you're just offering a bunch of flowers or maybe a few garlands. But inside, what you are actually doing. You are offering the Lord not just the garland, but you put your effort into it so then the Lord gets pleased. So you try your best. You select the best flowers. You use only certain flowers because they look the best. Don't use the ones which don't look so nice. Because you are very careful, so then Lord gets pleased. That's what it matters to you. But if somebody says, well, that's okay. No, just put it together and that's okay. So for somebody it may be. But as soon as we think that, yes, this is okay, then there is no way how we can try something better. As soon as we think that what we do, okay, that's all right, I don't need to improve anything, it's finished. You won't be able to improve. But if you think, okay, that was nice, but what else can I do to improve on? What else can I do to make it better? That way, then you keep constantly improving and you find new ways. That's devotional service. Yeah?
We finished the second point, right? Yeah, what is important? Anyway, we should get into the next one tomorrow.
Too much time. Is there anything else? Any question maybe to what we discussed just now? Okay, so then we will end here. So everybody can contemplate on.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.